I'm Chris. I'm the co-host of True Believers, a comic book podcast, our usually weekly show about all things comics and loosely pop culture. As you know, we've been on hiatus since last year because of our own personal issues and because of unsurety in the direction we wanted to take True Believers in. And sadly, my best friend and co-host, Andrew, can't be with me full time right now. So I'm joined by my other white best friend, the down bad doggy girl herself, my beautiful friend or furry, Alana.
Okay, I don't know if I liked that intro, but hello.
Which what
Not
part
a furry.
was it the white part? Because I could just say best friend. I love you, girly.
Okay, I am Wonder Bread, but
Okay. Was it the fact that I called you down bad? No, Alana's happily married.
yeah, it was that part.
Okay.
That was the part.
Or was it when I said friend or? Because like it's friend and pal.
Friend or foe, foe or furry, this week on True Believers.
Okay,
All
so
right, so what's my persona?
in honor of the release of Dungeons and Dragons: Honor Among Thieves next week, I've got Alana with me to talk about the first two volumes of Die by Kieran Gillen and Stephanie Hans, Fantasy Heartbreaker and Split the Party. Woo! Yes, I'm determinedly ignoring that. I'm pretending like that didn't get said. That absolutely did not get said on True Believers. Anyway, so are you ready for your short interview? Because now I'm trying to introduce segments into this show.
I'm ready.
How long would you say that we have been friends?
Oh, math. What year was like first grade?
Child, I don't know. I met you when I was in the fourth grade, though. That part's getting cut from the podcast. Just so you know, you're not getting me canceled, ho. Would you say that I'm your best friend, Alana?
I would absolutely say yes. I had an answer to this earlier and I forgot.
I was about to say, because if you say anything other than yes, I'm really about to hit end on this call, and that will be the end of your time in True Believers. You will not be
Well, I
invited
had
back.
something cute and I can't remember what I was gonna say.
Aw, I'm just gonna assume it was like nice and heartwarming.
It was, but it was also witty, and now I got nothing.
Alana, what is your background in comics? Like, how did you get into them?
I had weeaboo cousins when I was a kid, and so they got me very into anime and manga as a small child, and then into middle school, I read a bunch of manga and graphic novels, and then I went from that to web comics. And now here I am, on your podcast. And also, you got me desperately addicted to Lore Olympus, so.
Don't tell anybody about my secret shame.
You've been outed.
Not even ashamed. What's funny is I don't even think it's good.
It's enjoyable, okay? You can't deny.
Oh no. Lore Olympus is like my thing with Fast and Furious. There's no veil over Lore Olympus. I know that it's bad. Like all the parts where I'm like, oh, that was terrible. I know.
That was me with the discovery of witches. I was like, is it good? No.
No, that show's
Can I put it
horrible.
down? No.
No,
Do I even see some of the flaws in it? Hard yes.
you know what is the ultimate series like that? Have you ever heard of The Mortal Instruments?
I think you vaguely told me about it, but I haven't.
We watched that at somebody's birthday party when that City of Bones movie came out. That's the first book in the Mortal Instruments, and they had that show Shadowhunters. These books, and when I tell you think of every ism, you're like, that's racist, that's homophobic, that is disturbing, I don't like pseudo incest. Oh, now there's real incest. Okay, I should explain the incest thing. Okay, so there are these two characters, Clary and Jace. They're the main characters, right? And they start falling in love, blah, blah, blah. At one point, they think they're brother and sister because the guy finds out that the dude who raised him as a kid is her biological father. But it turns out later that he wasn't his father. He just raised him because he took him from another woman and man who were part of his cult. And that sounds convoluted because it is. And I was like, oh my God, incest. But like, here's the thing. If I ever even remotely thought you might be my sibling, I'm not attracted to you anymore. Because even when
Yeah.
they thought they were siblings, they were still like, I don't know, I already love you, I don't know. And I was like disturbed, but I was also in high school, right? And then like in the later books, there's a guy who shows up, Sebastian, because she really did have a brother, an older brother, and who she like never knew about. And then her mom was like, oh my God, yes, I did have a baby. Oh my God, is Jace that baby? So it wasn't Jace, it was this dude named Sebastian. But Sebastian was attracted to her. He was trying to get him some Clary. I was like,
Word to your mother, brother. And I
At
don't
least
think I'm allowed
Jace
to
was her
finish
brother
it.
from another mother.
I don't think I'm allowed to finish my thought, but
Keep
you gather.
that to yourself. I hate that I've gone on a tangent about this, but when I tell you, literally, these books are so horrible. They're badly written, but it's like the horrible way that they're written is so engaging because I was riveted. I read every page faithfully. I've read the entire Mortal Instruments series, and I even read, like, it's like after whatever the Infernal Devices, that actually I will say the Infernal Devices was way better written than all five or six Mortal Instrument books. There's a lot of them also. Yeah,
That
there's
author is
a
going to fist fight you for this montage.
I don't care. I've seen Cassandra Clare, and I could beat her tail. I would beat her like a drum. But and then
Sound bite is going to go viral.
like
I would beat her like a drum.
And not only that, the show Shadowhunters, I'm like, this show is so bad. And they kept trying to push the Clary and Jace agenda. I'm sorry, we will get back to
There's a
talking about comic
show?
books. Yes, there was a
Yes.
sh they made a movie. The movie didn't do well, so they made a show, and the show did really well. And then I think there was some kind of homophobia scandal, but I don't remember what it was. The show was so unserious. It's like, remember when you, did you ever used to watch Gossip Girl in that era when I did?
No, I couldn't get into Gossip Girl.
What about
I
Pretty
don't
Little
really
Liars?
also know.
I can't think of anything that was bizarre that I was just like, yeah, and that's the plot. Duh. Like Shadowhunters, because
Just
it's like
accept it.
I watch Shadowhunters every week faithfully. No, I was gonna say Smallville, but you didn't watch Smallville.
I
You're
didn't.
you've been my best friend for like almost 20 years, and you've never seen the actually, you know how we were just talking about my undivided attention, how the world couldn't handle it? That's the other thing. It's like Vin Diesel and Smallville.
I remember the decade-long dedication to Smallville.
Do you
I
remember when they
remember
moved
the box
Smallville?
set you had on display.
Had a box sets, and I
Yes.
have a couple of the novelizations. But you remember when Smallville, when they moved it to Friday night, and I was like, I can't come out because Friday night at 7, I will be there live to watch Smallville. Now, if you want to make plans at 8, we're good. But before that, I will not be ready.
You had commitments.
I did. Somebody save me. Let your warm hands break right through and just save me. I like that whole thing stemmed from Lore Olympus. I'm like, yeah, in the incest, what? No. Yeah, okay. Shadowhunters, it got too weird at one point. And like they had their homophobia scandal, whatever it was, after I quit watching it. But I was like, you thought you were her brother. And then after that, I was like, that's disgusting. And then her mom had died at one point and she brought him back to life and not her mom. And I was like, if my mom, if I could only use my one wish and I could bring anybody back to life, I'm picking my mom. Are you stupid?
Yeah.
Yeah. And then, like, at one point, I thought he was my brother. So he's not coming back to life. No. Do I look like Cersei Lannister? Absolutely not. And then, on top of that, here's the part that makes the show so deeply unserious. There was this girl, Maya, who was a werewolf, and her and Jace, they did get booty one time. That's what my mom says instead of have sex. Like, whenever she's like, he's over there getting booty with blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, speaking of unserious, that just had to be said, but he was over there. They were in the alley getting booty. And Maya's black also. So I was like, Maya, girl, that's nasty. I was thinking about her because I was like, you gonna sleep with him? He's still attracted to somebody. He once thought was his sister. And I kind of thought that. And Mimi watched Shadowhunters too, and we would talk about it. And me and Mimi both thought we were like, yes, oh, he's gonna be with Maya. He wasn't with Maya. I was like, oh, so he can't be with the black girl, even though this is the only relationship on this show that makes sense.
Nope, they went with the incest instead.
The pseudo incest. And then
Oh,
they introduced,
pardon.
yeah, no. And then the thing that was so crazy, they actually introduced the brother who like was attracted to her. I heard him introduce himself as like whatever his fake name was that I remember from the books, and he showed up in an elevator or something, and I immediately was like, I'm never watching this again. And then I never did because nobody has willpower like me.
That was what did it for you. That was the end.
I was like, no, not the real incest, because they'll do it. This show is very unserious. So I was like, I'm not sitting through any more incest.
Yeah, but we made it through Game of Thrones.
You know, we did, and I didn't. We did it, Joe. I didn't know it was gonna happen for us.
I put it down and picked it back up a lot because all of the stuff in season one, I was like, ooh. Oh, it was definitely all the essay. Yeah, that was the one. I can handle murder, but the sexual violence is
My thing is, it wasn't even just murder. They would be like, yeah, baby murder. What?
Yeah, that one I was like,
No, my thing was, you know, I could watch Game of Thrones like four times. I could watch it when Robb Stark got killed because, you know, that was my boy. I was
Really?
like,
The
no.
Red Wedding was pretty brutal.
I've never loved a TV character the same way I love Robb Stark. Sometimes I have a hard time even looking at Richard Madden because every time I look into his eyes, I want to cry. I be thinking King in the North. That's the song that plays in my heart. That's my man. That's my boo.
A stan.
I literally, you know, I used to watch Game of Thrones and then go to school after. I think that was like the only one that came on and it was like spring break or something. And so like it was like that and then the next episode that came on, but I didn't go to school the next day, but every because it came on Sunday and then it would come I'd watch it on Monday morning while I got ready for school. So I would be watching all of that crazy stuff and then I go right in the homeroom.
Just witnessing infanticide.
Oh, that one was yeah, I really did watch that one like right before school. Like the one where Cersei had all the little bastards rounded up and they literally were getting out, yep, right before school.
Oh God. Trying to remember what did I watch before school. A lot of SpongeBob. Definitely not HBO, Christian. Definitely not that.
Well, listen, I was like 15. Who's gonna tell me no?
That's fair.
Make
We
it
also
sound
just
like
didn't
it
have
was like
HBO. We just didn't have HBO.
one thing about my mom, she's gonna have the home box office. Oh, wait, we're way off topic. Alana, what's your background in like tabletop role-playing games? Like, how'd you get into them? Do you play other systems besides Dungeons and Dragons or?
So I started my freshman year of high school and we played really casually with some friends all together, usually on Friday nights, but it wasn't really organized.
Yeah, I
I
would have
didn't
joined you, but you know,
actually,
Smallville.
you know, priorities. I get it. Prior commitments. I didn't formally start playing until about last year when I moved to Florida and I was trying to meet local friends. And so
Ooh, Florida.
I started going to this local comic book store and I just kind of wanted to look around and see maybe if there were any groups so I could meet people. And the owner is a really kind person and he put me onto this Discord group where they kind of taught me everything and I just learned as I went. And we played the Curse of Strahd campaign, where I was a bard named Mirith, and I was clueless and reckless and had a blast.
What would you say your bardic highlight was?
There were a few. So I decided that my goal in the game was I didn't care about what the group's mission was because I was a sneaky little spy rogue. I was going to do what I wanted to do. And what I wanted to do was Daddy Strahd. So I tried to
Can I get that
seduce
one
a
more time? I'm
werewolf.
sorry, please.
What? Daddy Strahd. I tried to seduce a werewolf and contracted lycanthropy.
Lycanthropy?
I was going to say lycanthropy, and I know it's wrong, but it feels better on my tongue. Anyway, contracted that, which trying to
Yeah, I
tell me
bet it
was a bad
does.
thing. This is furthering your furry narrative, and I hate
Yeah, your furry narrative.
They tried to convince me that that was a bad thing, but
Shakira already told us there's a she-wolf in the
I
closet.
sang it and they didn't get the reference and I was so upset.
The
I
moon's my
never.
teacher and I'm her student.
So I was just like, I don't see what the problem is. I have superpowers now. Like, I'm gonna be fine. It's you guys that it sucks for. I definitely did end up ripping one party member completely in half, but it worked out fine because he said he wanted to die anyway so he could make a new character. So I mean, I did him a favor. Then after that, I tried to seduce I don't remember if it was like a vampire thrall or maybe it was
Why
Strahd.
are
I don't
bards
know.
always so horny? You know, you don't have to seduce people. You can inspire them, in fact. You could do that.
What fun is that?
It's
Plus,
what I do.
every time I would roll super low for charisma, even though it was my highest stat, so I would brutally fail at seducing these people. I never once successfully seduced anyone. But yeah, I ended up also contracting vampirism.
Like
On
an
top of
underworld?
that, baby, do you know how many times I said that? And they also didn't get that reference, or maybe they did, I don't know. They didn't give it nearly as much reaction as I felt
No,
that they
they got
wanted
your
to.
reference. They just didn't think you were funny.
Well, I thought it was great, okay?
I think it's great.
I went from having really low stats to being a goddamn superhuman vampire wolf.
creature. I gave them a run for their money when I changed, so sorry, boys. Uh-uh. But they had to tie me up with rope at one point because the DM decided that I was going into a vampiric state.
And was it regular rope, or was the rope like made of silver, or...
I think it was just regular old rope.
They Girl, also, you should have rolled an attack roll to see if you could bite that rope.
One of the party members had already knocked my ass out, which took a lot of effort on their part, okay?
Hit him with the bagpipes! I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Elaborate on that last part. You can't just say he was a giant turtle and then, like,
he was a giant turtle named Goggles.
Now, was this the same guy that you ripped in half?
No. That was a warlock.
That was a different guy. It was a warlock. I wouldn't rip Goggles.
I loved him. But yeah, by the end, I was determined to make Strahd fall in love with me so then I could steal his castle and become the queen of the castle, which I didn't reveal that until the very end. But at the very end, the last battle, instead of fighting him, I snuck up behind him and I bit him. It made me from a dampier into a full vampire. Yeah. And so then I wasn't fighting Strahd. I was fighting with Strahd against my party. And I survived to the end, okay? And then Strahd died, and I was like, yes, I'm going to inherit this property. I girl-bossed my way. But then I girl-bossed too close to the sun, and when he died, the castle crumbled. So I was like, well, shit.
Hey, guys. Remember me, your best friend? We're best friends again. So no other system, just D&D for right now?
Just D&D. Yep.
Until I get you to Dungeon Master me for Kids on Bikes, but...
You can keep holding your breath.
I'm... Alana, I could, if I held my breath for that long, you would do anything I said, because I think if anything happened to me, you would crumble. So don't act all tough.
That sounded so... really, really don't want to DM.
That sounded aggressive, but I'm...
Maybe Michael
do it. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he'd enjoy it.
Michael, pick up the Dungeon Master's Guide.
Hand him the gauntlet.
I know Michael doesn't listen to True Believers because he has the look of a fake bitch about him, but you know. Anyway, Alana, what's your position on splitting the party, since it's a topic of conversation?
If it works for what's going on at the moment, then it could be more complicated, but we've done it before.
It's not my thing. I just don't go in for it. Okay, so if
we
were both good.
I was just saying, like, I guess it depends, like, how far split, too. Like, we're not in, like, two totally separate locations. It'll be, like, one person is, like, at this part of the town, and another person's, like, at this part of the town, or... These people decided to go down the gigantic hole in the ground, and these people decided to stay at the top, but, like, not on, like, separate quests.
Yeah, I always tell people, if you want me to Dungeon Master, I'm not doing that. You guys can go to different buildings. You could be across town, but I'm not entertaining that. Like, as a player, I don't care, but yeah. As a DM, I'm not doing that, so.
It sounds complicated.
You can do whatever you want to. As for me in my house, that was about to be a Jesus thing, and I don't.
I was gonna say, I was waiting for it.
Jesus is too tempting of a topic for Alana, so
you're gonna make a lot of people very angry if we go into this.
Yeah, I don't. You'd never have a theological debate with her. It's gonna be an interesting conversation.
He is my guy. I don't know.
And let's just keep it at that. So if we were both playing a game of die between the dictator, the fool, the emotion knight, the neo, the godbinder, and grandmaster, what do you think my persona would be?
Grandmaster, without a doubt.
Really? I don't see myself as that type.
You...
I don't need to shape the form of the world. I just need to exist in it. And unlike Saul, literally... I would never want to stay.
No. But you are literally a universe maker.
I think you believe in me too much. It's a little bit weird.
You have literally created, let's see, there's Starbound, there's Stratoria, there was the original, I forget what the original piece that gave birth to Starbound was.
The soliloquy thing, yeah, I forgot about that. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I really gotta think of another name besides Starbound. Oh, so yeah, me and Alana are working on a webcomic. I mean, I'm writing it, and Alana says that she wants it to get written, so I'm like, well, if you want it made, you're gonna have to draw it, so... And also, apparently, Starbound is the name of a really popular video game series, so I gotta think of a new name.
Oh, whoops. We'll, like, add some flair to it. Starbound System XLT. D. It'll be, like, Starbound XD1.
Starbound D.
Yeah, there you go. Nailed it. Starbound XD.
Starbound GX.
Yeah, that'll work.
What was that Yu-Gi-Oh! That, like, fifth one? It was, like, Zexal or whatever.
Yu-Gi-Oh! Went hard, though. That was my shit as a kid.
Yo, what was your favorite one? I liked it when they went to Battle City. I found the whole thing so desperately unserious, because I'm like, This is card games. Y'all are playing a card game on in a battle city. Where do you get the permits to make a battle city? And then it's like, if you lose Yu-Gi-Oh, you go to hell. No, you know what? I know this guy. He's a freak. Like, I hate to say mean things about people in public, but that guy's a freak. He told me that when he was young, you know, Pot of Greed, that card that where you like discard other cards or something, and it's literally like a pot, like a urn or like a ceramic pot, and it, with a mouth on it, and it's like, yeah. That guy said that he wanted to use the Pot of Greed as a
leave it. No, I'm good. You can put that back where it came from. No, thank you. Return to
so if we were playing a game of die, though, like, what do you think your persona would be?
I could see dictator. I don't think that I would choose it, but I think I would fall into it.
Really?
Huh. Mm-hmm.
I guess we're different people and we see ourselves differently, because I was thinking you'd be the godbinder.
Maybe. Yeah, I could see that too. But what's her name? Madame Woe?
Mistress Woe?
Mistress
that
Woe.
That was scary. And she messy. I can't wait for you to read volumes 3 and 4, because it gets messy. You think it's messy now? It could get worse. It could always be worse. The die is cast. It is. It could get worse.
Chuck got what he deserved. Okay.
Chuck is a fool. Oh, literally.
Literally.
Okay, so, and so, like I said last week, I'm sure that anyone listening to a comic book podcast knows about Dungeons & Dragons, the fantasy game originally published by Tactical Studies Rules and now Wizards of the Coast. Die is described by writer Kieran Gillen as goth Jumanji, a pitch black fantasy where a group of 40-something adults have to deal with the returning unearthly horror that they only just survived as teenage role players.
All right.
All right, Alana, so how would you describe the storyline of Die so far in this first half?
Did not expect it to have so many World War One and World War Two undertones, but then like as we went on and seeing that it was so influenced from like Lord of the Rings, and then I was like, okay, yeah, that tracks. Okay, that makes sense.
You know, one thing that I did not get until like I was reviewing the episode that I did last week. I don't know if you listened to it yet. Alana is one of my only friends who I know listens to all my episodes. the rest of you are fake, just so you know. I want you guys to know that that's what I think. But it was about the Dungeons and Dragons TV show that came on in the early 80s. I think 1983 was when the first episode premiered, and I did not realize that the makeup of Die, their full party, and the setup of Die, it's meant to mimic the Dungeons and Dragons show. If you think about it, there's 6 kids, each a different character class.
Yeah.
They're playing, they're doing something innocuous. They get on a roller coaster, and in Die, they're playing a game, and they end up trapped in the world, trying to figure out how to get home. And that's the entire plot.
It gave me some serious it, like nostalgia as well. I know you haven't read that, and you're not really a big Stephen King fan.
Oh, that's the thing like with the clown. That's the thing with the clown.
Yeah, but it wasn't like the clown thing is, that wasn't what reminded me, because it's also like a thing where they go through this really traumatic experience with this supernatural entity that really only they understand this. What is it? 6 of them, 5 of them. I don't remember. And then they think that it's over with. But they make a pact together that, hey, if this ever comes back, we have to all reunite and go through this again to get rid of it for good. And then like 30 years later, it happens. And the lineup of events is very similar to how things are set up and die.
You know what? Actually, Monique gave me the perfect response to that situation. Girl, fuck them kids and fuck you too. Because did you see my face drop when you said, me back up? Nah, we escaped.
We're out. I did that thing.
I did that. Especially because in Die, like, they're just playing a game. It's Ash's birthday, but Ash shares their birthday with Saul, who is the game master. And Saul's like, yeah, I've got a new game for you. And then just, like, he passes out a different die to every player. And they're like, oh, so we all only get one dice. And he's like, actually, it's called a die. And then they're transported into the world. I was like, girl, what the hell? So now it's like more modern times, because this was the 80s. And they're like, oh, yeah, so we never spoke about it again. And then they come back. And like a year later, one of them doesn't have an arm and they're missing Saul. And now it's like Ash turned like 40 or something. And they all meet up because Ash got like a bloody die. And somehow they ended up having the same stupid argument about the name of the dice. And then guess what? They get transported back.
Didn't they kind of agree that they were going back in anyways, though? Because they needed to get... Oh, I misunderstood that. Whoopsie. I thought it was like this agreed upon thing because they all
No,
showed up
remember?
together.
Because they all met up because Ash received, and they knew it was Saul's
Doing.
grandmaster dies. So they were like, Ash was like, let me call everybody. So they all meet up at Chuck's house. Chuck is rich because he writes
Yeah.
fantasy novels. Also, their lives all kind of suck. Like, well, not suck, but Ash is like living the most. You know, when Squidward went to the rich neighborhood in SpongeBob and then every day was monotonous. That's what Ash's life looked like. Also, I think they're in England, so all the buildings are like sad and gray and weird. And Matt is like a dad, and he's like the only Matt is the only one who's a good person. So
Yeah.
he's living his best life. I think his dad is sick again. I think the first time they left, I think Matt's mom died. And I was like, because imagine you leave for a year, you disappear for a year, you have like the worst year ever, you come back, and you're like, oh, you know your mom, she's dead. What?
No, what happened with his mom is that she went in to have surgery and then she died from surgery complications. And
That's
so remember, because he, when they're in the trenches, I think, or no. It was whenever they're drinking with the dwarves and they're like, what's the bravest thing that you've ever done? And he tells the story about how his mom died from surgery complications. And then when his daughter was 5, she needed to be put under anesthesia for surgery because she had like appendicitis or some shit. And he was like internally freaking out because they tell you it's like 1 in 100,000, but really. And so like to keep his daughter calm, he was like, you're gonna be fine. It's gonna be great, because he was like, if she dies, I don't want her to die scared. And anyway, he said that that's like the bravest thing he's ever done.
And the dwarves were
But
eating it up. They were like, oh my gosh, Grief Knight, you're amazing. And he was like, I know, but Matt is a very depressed man. He's very blessed, but also very depressed. I'm like, you need to be on a medication, but you are a good man. And then Ash is the miserable, or not miserable, but just average. Like, I hate when people are aggressively average because your life might as well just be miserable. Then Chuck writes fantasy novels. He's been divorced like 3 or 4 times.
his
He's
kids don't talk
rich.
to him.
Yeah, of course they don't. He's a fool. You
And
already read
then he
that,
won't
huh?
take her back. And
Of
the
course they
girls
won't.
are. And she's shocked that the girls are mad at
Girl, you done broke up our family.
her. Ay,
It
ay,
was,
ay.
I don't know what she smoked before she put them two thighs together. Cause when I was reading it on the page, I was like, no. And then there's Isabel, whose life, she's like a teacher or something, but not even an interesting one.
I forget what her deal is back home, other than being a teacher.
She's like an English teacher. The most interesting thing I think was that she was like French and Asian. And I was like, that's actually kind of interesting. Madame, light is your cigarette. Light
Was
is your
gonna say, where's
cigarette.
the cigarette?
And then the only person who's not there is Saul, who's the grandmaster, like the one who rounds out the party. Saul is the one who was adjudicating the game for them before they got sucked into it as kids. And then they're like, oh, I think Saul's mom came and visited Ash earlier on his birthday and was like, please just tell me what happened to him. And he was like, girl, if you don't get off my porch, sorry, I can't stay. I ain't got nothing like you.
Yeah, and okay, I'm kind of confused. Why didn't she ever try to go back for him?
She couldn't.
She could have tried.
No, literally, they explained it in part two because I was like, why do you never talk about it? Because it seemed weird that they were like, we can't talk about it. I was like, why? They explained it, I promise.
Okay. I guess I'll get there, because I was like, I mean, he has a little right to be angry. He just left him there, you know?
Didn't leave him there on purpose.
No, but they knew he was stuck there,
How was they gonna get back? They didn't have the dice. The die was what took them there.
Oh, okay, that's fair, that's fair.
Oh, so they all get into an argument, right? They end up trapped right back in the world, and I think they end up outside of like glass. No, was it outside of Glass Town? I don't know. It really doesn't
They
matter
end
where they
up
were.
going to Glass Town to attract Saul.
Yes, and Saul meets him there, but they meet like on their way there, they meet the master of the front. And I was looking at this man and I'm like, he looks so familiar. I know this man. And like the things he was saying, they resonated with me. But n like that, you know how I told you if I read anything, I could probably remember it like 10 years from now?
Yeah, I wish I had that.
Yeah, so I'm listening to what he's talking about because they're talking about war. And I'm like, what is this? Guess who that man was? It was Tolkien. Tolkien is the
Okay,
master of the front.
I was getting vibes like that, because there were so many references. That makes a lot of sense.
And there are so many layers to this because the original Dungeons and Dragons game, Gary Gygax was a big fan of those war games, which are of course based on like real wars and stuff. And that is the basis of Dungeons and Dragons. So when I realized even Angela being there is actually a Dungeons and Dragons reference because in the Dungeons and Dragons blah. And the Dungeons and Dragons TV show, the girl with the cape, I don't know, she could become invisible or some stupid shit, but her little brother Bobby the Barbarian is there, and I'm like, oh my gosh, just like Ash and Angela, it all makes sense. It all makes sense. And then as we see them in their die counterparts, you're like, oh, okay, so they all really hate each other and have since they were kids, except for Matt. Like, I feel like Matt probably doesn't like Chuck, but Matt,
they didn't they didn't even like each other as kids. They didn't even like each other that night. Most of them weren't friends.
Like, it's like Matt was probably the one who was friends with most of everybody, but I feel like Matt didn't like Chuck and was always too polite to say so.
Chuck immediately pissed off Ash the first night.
The first night when they was kids.
When they was kids, exactly. Isabel did not like Ash either, and then later she really doesn't like her.
So when we get there, I'm like, I was like, oh, they all kind of look the same except for Ash, because I'm like, oh, Ash is a woman. I was like, not a girl boss. Okay. And then when they introduce their personas, which is, they're actually called that, they're all the paragons, right? So everybody knows, like in Dungeons and Dragons, that they're like, oh, so you're from another world, the paragons. Okay. I was like, period. So their personas, Ash is the D4, the dictator, which is described as the other side of the bard, like the ability. Ash has the ability to like manipulate people and just make them do her bidding, which is kind of interesting. It seems like that would be a hard class to get into. Apparently, I looked up what these classes were meant to mirror because I was interested in it. Mm-hmm. And apparently Chuck, he's the D6, the fool. The other side of this is the swashbuckler. And I think...
I haven't even read about that class. Like, I'm assuming it's like a pirate type deal? Like,
sort of. But I think they mean like the devil may careness of Chuck's fool attitude. The thing is, as long as Chuck acts the fool, I looked up exactly why Chuck is called the fool. As long as he maintains a carefree attitude and doesn't seriously consider consequences, he is granted an unusual degree of luck in all his actions. So the one moment in this story where he has remorse, everything goes wrong.
That's so funny. Even whenever he had the bad luck stricken upon him from Mistress Woe, he was still fine.
It still worked out. And then the D8, Matt, he is... The class is incredible. Called the Emotion Knight. First of all, what a man. I saw what Matt one man. Time, and I knew exactly what class that the Emotion Knight mirrors. He's the Paladin. Specifically, Matt is a Grief Knight. And apparently, you can have a knight for almost every... Well, not every emotion. They named a few. There are Rage Knights who you meet. I think in part 2, you meet
it
the Rage Knights.
It touches on it in part 1.
Yeah, and then they said in the author's notes that there were joy knights, but the way that he uses his power is so interesting. It's because, like, he leans on Ash a lot to make use of his powers, and this is why I said, like, Matt is very depressed, but I think being a grief knight is actually the best class because it doesn't take anything away from you. It's like, I don't remember in what Star Trek. It's in whatever Star Trek movie that Tupac samples for that song Pain or whatever that I think is in Above the Rim, where he's like, your pain is great. Share it with me or something like that. It's where Spock's brother comes, and Spock's brother is some kind of religious zealot. And he's also like a powerful telepath or whatever. But like, so Cyborg, his whole thing was that he was showing people God by like taking their pain away. But Kirk was like, excuse me, sir, I need my pain. Pain is what makes me human. It's what makes me who I am. That makes so much sense. Like, the things that we've been through, the scars on our hearts, thank you, Christina Perry, that is what makes us human. And the Grief Knight, I think, is the perfect example of that, because if you were trying to base your powers on your joy, I don't think you could get far. Rage, I think you can get far with rage, but you can't build anything worth having on it. But grief is what you, sorrow is what you use to move forward. And I don't know if I read this in something that Matt said or in the author's notes, and I'm going to lean to the author's notes because there are a lot of them. There's like a full-on newsletter plus a bunch of author's notes at the end of every issue. It was said that grief is the price of joy.
Yes. I thought that was powerful.
That was so powerful. And I had never thought of it. I was like, oh my gosh. And Matt, my paladin, my grief knight, I love him. And Matt is also very sexy. Like, for a drawing, I was like, Matt, what you trying to do? Not you being Matt Triss Elba.
The thirst. I found him really relatable too, because I remember going through my own grief and feeling like it was one of the most powerful things that I had ever experienced. And it's interesting to me that before even playing this game, like, Matt was kind of known as like the depressive friend. And so to see that be turned into like the source of strength where they had to turn to him for that. And it was so painful to watch, though, Ash have to tell him the most god awful, horrible, provoking things so he could save them time and time again.
And
then
it's even,
after the fact, have to like put the band-aid on it.
Be like, you know, I didn't mean that, buddy. You'll be good. Because it'd be like, you know, while you're gone, your dad, he's been sick. He might die. Your daughter might die. You know, she had to have that surgery. And then it'll be like, what? And then it's like, yeah, sorry about that, buddy.
The beginning. And then as we kept reading, I was like, oh, I guess I had it wrong. Ash is a girl.
I mean, it's only volume 1 and 2. Let's get to the end. I was really sitting up thinking, like, are there other ways to get pregnant besides having sex? And then I was like, I read like 2 more pages and then I went back to issue 1 because I was like, no, let me restart. Let's rethink that.
I think it just threw me off because everyone else's character is pretty much them just in the game. So I was like, wait, did I totally misinterpret that first like episode?
What I love about that is that so many people who play like D&D TTRPGs, they're just like, it's going to be me. Like,
you if, do that.
Who's me? No, I don't do that.
Christian, I'm not going to say your last name, but Christian, I have seen your hero forges. They are.
Oh, no, they all look
you.
Like me. They all look like me. Don't get me wrong. But that's because I'm a supreme baddie. Roleplay wise, they don't be like me.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
And then the character I'm working on now is a man. So he looks like Rhys King.
Yeah, but he looks like a boy version of you, though.
No, he looks like a more light-skinned version of my brother.
Who looks like...
A young version of my dad.
Who looks like... No? What? All right.
My younger brother?
You all look like your dad, girl.
I don't recall. First of all, that son, another person whose name, I think it's Augustus. Cause I was like, there's a name here. I don't know whose name this is. I think Augustus is the son. He's like, hello, mother. I was like, what the hell? What you mean mother? Like mother and child?
Which also begs into question. So is the game real or not?
Yeah, cause it's like, if it's real, first of all, wasn't y'all like 14? So you was popping coach and you had a whole son and just left your son? Look, they all seem very stupid. So I don't think people, like, I was considering the whole reproductive cycle. Because, they said they were surprised when Ash got pregnant. And I was like,
cut all of this.
No, this is staying in. So they said they were surprised that Ash got pregnant. So I didn't think normal reproductive logic was happening. Like, I didn't think people were menstruating. Because I was like, if you're, like...
And the vampire daddy is Zet daddy.
I'm sorry, what?
The vampire daddy. I forget his name, but the daddy is the actual
Lord
daddy.
Zamorna. And yes, I really thought that Zamorna was Zamoma. So I had read it like that the whole first time I read it like that. And then, because the lettering is really weird in between that R and the N. So I was like, oh, Zamoma. I was like, Zamoma. And then I was reading a book about the Brontes and like, because I wanted to know how much of this stuff was real. And it's all pretty real, actually. So it comes out towards the end that Charlotte Bronte is the warden and master of Angria, Lord Zamorna's kingdom, who claims to be the real, I really did just like copy down the description, but yeah, claims to be the real Charlotte Bronte, who was transported in to die upon her death. Charlotte and her siblings created the worlds of Gondal, Angria, Glasstown, and characters such as Zamorna in their childhood, but soon realized that they had gotten more than they bargained for when their worlds began to bleed into reality. And I was like, girl, what the hell? But the thing is, I actually already knew a little bit about the Brontes, and which is why all the stuff sounded kind of familiar to me, because Miss Chaka, shout out to Lady Splaney, my favorite podcast that will never come back ever for some reason. Release more episodes, Miss Cheka. Release more episodes. She was our English teacher.
If you're listening to this, Miss Cheka, I'm sorry for the bad words.
She cuss too. She grown. She know we grown.
I still feel like she's pretty bad. Do you know that one year Miss Cheka left for our midterns? She was out of town, and so we had a sub. And she was so dead set that we were not to cheat when she was gone and that we were going to take this midterm honestly, that she made a 57-minute long video that she put on the Promethean board of her staring into the screen. And this was not like a 10-minute video on loop. It was nonstop, staring deeply into the screen like this, blinking, turning her head, giving us
the was it eyebrow. Edited at least?
No,
Miss Checker, that's psychopathic.
It was effective.
I bet nobody even tried to cheat. But she had an she had several episodes referencing or maybe this was when she was on YouTube. I don't know. But I don't know if it was Jane Eyre or Wuthering Heights. I don't know. But it's one of those Bronte works. You know, I think the Brontes are horrible writers. But the fact that they're so influential, so accomplished, so, like, they have everything going on. And they were like, you know who's the genius? Our idiot brother who, like, pisses away all our money. That our very little money that we don't have. But Branwell Bronte, he's the true genius of us. And I'm like, this is what misogyny does to brains. Because you, however much I hate all of your writing, all of you, all three of you, you are the geniuses. Branwell's committed, not contributed nothing to literacy, nothing to society, except for being your brother. But as soon, like, when she was, when the warden was telling the story of Di or whatever, as she knew it, I was like, this sounds familiar. And then I saw three women and I was like, er. And then I saw that brother. I was like, I know who you are. I know you. I know you by sight. I would know you by smell. I would know you anywhere in this world. I know who you are, Charlotte Bronte. And I even knew which one she was. I was like, it's you.
That whole premise kind of reminded me of the whole, like, how Lewis Carroll came about with writing Alice in Wonderland with, like, kids and stuff. Mm-hmm. And so I'm curious if something like that is going to come into play in part two, just because there's been so many other literary references and the universe building is similar. So we shall see. But yeah, that came out of left field for me.
But I think knowing, because I remembered this second time around that Charlotte Bronte was the warden, like, knowing that, I was like, then who's the master of the front? That's what prompted me to look that up, to be like, I need to know that. There's no part of me that can't know this. So they agree to kind of go by the old rules that they had. This is kind of, like, late into our super in-depth description of the storyline. They agree to go by the old rules. So they're like, we all want to go home, but we have to treat this world like it's real. And I'm like, girl, Ash has a kid. Isabel is in debt to all these gods. They end up holed up in Glasstown. They have to transport all the Glasstown people. Somehow they end up in Angria. That's when all the stuff really starts popping off, because that's where Augustus and Zamorna are. Dictators aren't even allowed to, like, all the dictators are on some BDSM stuff, because they all have these collars and they can't even, like, speak without talking to a master. And I was like, sounds a little bit too horny for me, but, you know, whatever. And then they're all on side quests. That's where they split the party. And Isabel is in deep to, like, every god. Like, Ash is making moves to topple the aristocracy, the magistocracy.
Another thing is that Isabella was one of the ones that fought to stay. And I kind of thought she was a dick for that.
She was like, people need us. Well, these people aren't real. F these people and their kids. So
yeah, like, okay, you may not give a shit about your life back at home, but there are people here who have families and children that they would like to get back to. And you're like, nope, I want to stay and play. Thank you.
Matt wants to see his kids, and them kids want to see Matt too. Matt is the only one who really got something going on.
Like, if your life sucks so bad, then you go and make it more interesting. But there are some of us that actually have a good setup that we would like to get back to. Anyway, I digress.
Man, Alana, do you think if we were in Die, first of all, if we were in Die, this is back to the interview. I was going to ask this next week, but I'm going to ask you this now and then see if your answer changes. Who would you pick to be with you? What's your ideal six-person party?
Like, out of the characters in the game or my life?
Out of the people you know. Out of the people we know.
Okay. Obviously you.
Well, why I got to be in it?
If I'm going to play...
You said, if I want to get home, I'm taking you.
Yeah. Let's see, who else? Obviously Michael.
Wait, so your kid's just gonna be an orphan?
Yeah, she'll go to her nanny's house. It's fine. Nanny's her grandma, by the way. We don't actually have a nanny.
Oh, Alana's crazy rich. She is. Okay. She needs to be toppled with the rest of the bourgeoisie.
Yeah, I say with my duct taped on mirror on my car.
I say with my twice broken head.
It's fine. You know what? They work. Also, leave my TV tray desk alone.
That's ghetto. I'm sorry. You should have just bought a meth desk like me.
I did buy a desk. It's just small. So
that's my pre-extinction. Like, my meth desk is a lot smaller than that. And it's the size of two TV trays.
Did you say your meth desk?
Oh, yeah. The lady I bought it from was definitely on meth.
Oh, okay. Well, you know, One of my desks was free on the side of the road, so that's something.
Dang, that's even, well, I don't know. My math desk is painted gold, and it's got a giant picture of me in the, that's the one that I had in my room, you know, the one you told me was really cool, because I put that giant poster of myself under the glass. Crazy, right?
Respect. The rest of my party, that's two people. Winston. No, just kidding. He's soft. I love him
you
to death,
can't
but
bring
he
the
would
dog.
not. I could, but... But he's too soft, okay? The dude has, like, skin allergies and a bad eye, and
I'm sorry,
he would
but
just not be smart.
I would, if you brought me, I would take Winston out myself.
Hey!
We all need to want to go home. Dogs are very stupid, and
he
I
would,
think
no, Winston likes his bed. He would want to go home.
You would put us in danger for the dog, and
no,
you would forgive
wrong.
Me, so...
No.
You would be mad, but I think you would forgive me. Or at the very least, you ain't gonna try and kill me, so...
I wouldn't try to kill you, but I would never forgive you.
We can move past it. I think we can move
Not
past
if I killed
it.
My dog. Let's see. Who else would I bring? Dude, I need more friends.
Wait, what's Michael's class?
Question.
I could see Michael as a Neo. Just for the the sci-fi aspects of it. But I think Michael would make a really, really good dictator. Because he is so tricky. Like, with words. He'd be like,
that's
yeah,
true.
Blah, 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 blah.
He's very charismatic. However, when I've seen Michael play D&D, he plays a barbarian orc named, what was it?
Yeah.
Stump. Whose intelligence was 6. So, that's what I've seen.
You don't need intelligence if you got wisdom.
He didn't have that either. He just
Child, I done played a dumb
really
wizard
hard.
Before.
Oh, I'm a very dumb ranger in my other campaign. However, I've got super high wisdom. So I'm like really dumb, but inherently very wise.
Yeah, it's like God, look, what if Michael played the fool?
That would honestly be very fitting. You know, his birthday is 7/7/97. So like the dude does have like a horseshoe shoved up his ass.
I think either I would be an emotion knight. Like I could take being a grief knight. I don't think it would bother me. But being a martial class is very ghetto. So I honestly, I don't know. Cause I being a cleric, I don't want to be beholden. Even the warlock thing, I got to make a deal with you to get some magic. Nah, I need to be magic on my own.
I don't want to depend on you for my magic.
I need to praise you to get some magic? Absolutely not.
I also didn't expect the like tech like angle that they went with the Neo. And I thought that was kind of cool considering everything else is pretty high fantasy.
I just thought it was funny. It was because Angela was like, can I be a cyberpunk? And thinking that like at the time, cyberpunk was hot.
Which I also did not know that was a hot topic in the 80s. So that was cool.
You didn't know about the cyberpunk craze? What do you think the Matrix was?
In the 90s?
I think it was the 90s. Was it not the 90s?
Yeah, I thought the game took place in the 80s.
I thought Die was in... See, I really was not sure time-wise, but I know Cyberpunk has been... Oh, I didn't mean to say The Matrix. I meant to say Blade Runner.
Okay, yes. I was like, wrong decade.
But I've been thinking that was the 90s for years. Like, I've never seen Blade Runner. When they made a Blade Runner 2... That was when I found out most of the stuff I know about Blade Runner. And I could tell you all three of the things I know about Blade Runner. And they're all weird.
I have not seen any of it. So.
Blade Runner.
Zero concept.
It takes place in a futuristic setting. Harrison Ford is the main character. And I
nice.
Think there might be somebody with three titties. But I also think that might be like the fifth element or something.
This is triple nipple.
Yeah, I seen three titties. So I think that might have been, I don't know, but whatever the thing, actually, no, I don't think that's Blade Runner with the three titties, because whatever the thing is with the three titties, I don't remember how I ended up having a conversation with your dad about it, but I very, very viscerally remember having a conversation with your dad about the three titties, because
that
whatever,
shocks me none.
Whatever the thing was, he went and saw it in theaters, and he was like, yeah, she had them three titties, and we were like, whoo! And I was like, but one of them wasn't real. He said it was three titties. I'm a man.
Jeff knew what he was about, okay? It was the three B's. It was beer, barbecue, and butts. Titties, a close, you know.
You know, around. Boobs are just the butts of the chest.
Yes. The front crack. The northern front crack.
So, like, to sum everything up, because we have gone on for a really long time, what were your final thoughts on, like, what you read?
I really want to see Solomon get his revenge. I feel like he really got
What does
boned.
He need to get revenge on?
They
Not on them.
Left him. He didn't start evil.
He got pulled
And then
in.
They killed him. His best friend killed him.
He got pulled away. He should have held on stronger.
Nah.
We
I
were
think
holding
that Ash didn't even try to save him when she came back, though. She just was like, okay, we'll just kill you.
Because he decided he killed the, not the Dungeon Master, he killed the Grandmaster and was like, I'm the new Grandmaster, and was causing havoc. She was like, yeah. Ash was like, you too far gone. Ice.
She could have dictated him or something.
Ice. I think she could have tried harder to save him.
But you know what, Alana? That can never be us, because I would never stop trying to save you. First of all, I never would have left without you. We would have held on tighter.
That's also true.
Now, I don't know how hard you would be holding on to me at the end if we as grown people and I had iced your dog. Like, it might be a whole different story.
See, I'd let you go back, but I'm going to stay. I'm figuring out a way to revive my
baby. But that dog is a fallen.
I don't give a fuck. He's coming back a zombie dog. That's my baby.
No, see, the fallen can't travel back, which is why Ash, I think they said in part two, or maybe even in part one, that Ash had to make a deal with Mistress Woe to deliver that baby early. Because I think Ash was pregnant when they was going home or something. I was like, oh, this is...
How's that going to work going home?
Quite ghetto.
This is quite ghetto.
Especially
also, into your... Also messy that the vampire dude was originally Isabelle's, and then he was just
What's
like...
What's messy is that, like, you're grown. That's the messiest part. You're grown, and this is weird. Because they even look younger, like, when they were doing the flashbacks. I was like, oh, so were y'all still kids? Like, they didn't clarify this part. I was like, oh, so is it supposed to be like y'all, was it like a witch transformation? You've seen Witch, right?
Which one?
Like, literally, it's called Witch, and it's like all their initials. They're the Guardians of the Veil, and they do their magical girl transformation in Witch is like all their names, so it's like an acronym. They're not witches. They're like fairies, but they're the guardians of this thing called the Veil, and they got this Heart of Kantrakar. Anyway, they all got elemental powers except for the one main girl, Bloom. No. That's Winx. Sorry. Her name is Will. In the first episode, when they transform, they're all like freshmen in high school, but yeah. It's in like France. So they're not like in high school. They're in omelette
du fromage. There's a lot of shitting on French people going on here tonight. I think some of your UK angst is popping through.
Baby, I was who I was before I got there. So...
Christian, what were your thoughts of the storyline up into part, because I haven't read part two yet, so part one thoughts.
Oh wait, let me get to my, oh, so when they transform, they go from being like freshman girls to being like a bit older, like they're taller, their bodies are more developed, but I'm like, y'all kid anyway, because they're like 14. So that's, I was like, is this what's happening in Die? Because those are my final thoughts, because I'm still not clear on this. Like, are you as a grown man with two children?
Also, does time move the same within that universe as it does on the outside? Because I know 2 years passed before they came back, but was it 2 years while they were on the inside too?
No, I don't believe 2 years passed, because Ash's son was a grown man. I believe it's been the same amount of time. But the only person other than Ash's son, the grown man, who could indicate time would be Lord Zamorna. But Lord Zamorna is a vampire.
Messy.
There's nobody else that they meet in part one who they had met before. Well, except for that one lady who was like the elven queen, who was just some girl Saul thought was hot 20 years ago. Mm-hmm. My final thoughts, this is a very messy story. You know, I love mess. That's why you read comic books, because the mess, like...
Good action, too. I think it had a good balance between, like, all of the relationships intertwining, the overlap, but also some really cool combat and a really interesting take on D&D classes and seeing them in action and how they all work together and, like, the unique parts of each person.
No, I get that. This reminds me of a book that I read. It's called So This Is Ever After by F.T. Lukens, and it's like, it's basically like everything that would happen after a Dungeons and Dragons campaign if you got there. Like, it would be like that book is like the epilogue, and this comic, it reads out exactly like a long campaign. But the thing is, the kind of player I am, I prefer, like, being a dungeon master, I have people who like to do combat, and I don't. I only care about combat if it's, like, narratively appropriate, and I operate entirely based on vibes. I look at the stat block, and then I use my internal discernment to decide when dropping this villain would be narratively appropriate. You've played with me before. Like,
I have.
Did it not seem like that's what I did?
See, I kind of preferred that, though. I feel like too much combat with not enough storyline, it just turns it into a beat-em-up, and it's less interesting. You have to have the story to make the combat make sense. Otherwise, it feels like work.
Yeah, and as a player, I prefer story to beat 'em up. But also, as a player, I'm really freaking good at beat 'em up. Well, who knows? I don't know. I'll never play a martial class. I say I'll never play a martial class, but I was literally like right before we recorded, I was reading Alana all of my, I'm for every basic class. I had made a character. I haven't rolled them up yet, but I was like, this is their concept. Oh my gosh, she's a barbarian and a sea elf because, you know, pretty girls.
I think you might enjoy being a ranger because of that, because you have such an affinity.
Too much math.
It's really not. Once you know your character and know what you're capable of, because you have the best of both worlds with it, you can do a lot of magic. Well, depending upon which class you choose, but...
Well, if I was going to play a martial class, though, that's my disconnect. People keep telling me I could still do magic. And if I'm playing a martial class, no, it's strictly beat-em-up. There's no arcane trickery going on.
Ooh, but the arcane trickery can make your beat-em-up go much, much further. Or nope, even for use beyond that, because I don't really... always use my magic in combat, but there are spells for other useful things, like helping you get through a lot of puzzles that the DM sets.
I don't need spells for puzzles. I got this big, beautiful brain that breaks headphones in two separate places.
Hey, you do you, boo-boo. I'm gonna keep going with my swarm. Thank you much.
Plus, I don't think you could handle it if I tried to DM you a puzzle, because you remember when I was trying to get everybody's opinion on that chicken riddle? And
that
you guys were
pissed me off.
You guys were literally all screaming at me. And I'm like, it's such a simple... I learned this riddle when I was in, like, daycare.
You went to, like, a Montessori-type daycare. You went to a very advanced daycare, okay?
It very much did not. Oh, I mean, yeah, it was accredited as a school. But, and, like, that is why I'm so much more advanced than all of you. I don't even mean that in a rude way. Me and Alana are the same age. And, in fact, she's, like, a month older. But I was a grade ahead of Alana. And I was supposed to go into the next grade. But I have really bad social skills. Yeah, so I learned how to read when I was, like, two or three at the same daycare. Shout out to Granny. Hey, Granny. Yeah, so it was like a Montessori type school, but it was $80 a week. You know, most people paid out their ass for daycare. Like I was three meals a day, watched movies, we had playtime, and we learned. I know, right? Maybe I should open a daycare. Oh wait, no, I really hate kids.
Children.
They really like me though, so that could be like a match made in heaven.
That is one perspective. Yeah.
Yes, maybe this is my true calling. They're people. Like it's like, oh, Lana had a baby. If you were anybody else, I might have just dropped you or slowly phased you out. But you are in fact my best friend. So
this is like the most simultaneously offensive and endearing conversation.
That's a joke. I don't start phasing my friends out when they have kids. They usually start phasing me out because I'm very immature.
Say you're immature.
No, I'm really immature. I literally just shouted the P word at you not even 20 minutes ago.
P word?
Yeah, you know.
There it is. I just wanted to make you say it.
One thing I'm not going to do to myself is get myself canceled.
You're going to have to edit out how you hate dogs. Otherwise, you're going to have all of the dog lovers in the comments.
Fuck them dogs and fuck y'all too.
Even though you baby out over Winston every time you're around him.
He's so cute. Wait, Winston couldn't come. He couldn't roll up a character.
That's also true.
We didn't even consider that before I moved right into. You said maybe I'd bring Winston. I was like, I'd ice that dog.
You were like, I just want to shoot him, okay? We're going to old yeller this.
Not old yeller. Wait, tell me what I was thinking about. I wasn't even thinking of a dog. I was thinking about their eyes were watching God. Me and Winston,
alone.
We had us a love. Are you crying? There's no crying in baseball. I don't know. So my final thoughts are, this is a very messy story. When he said got Jumanji, he was right. You can tell that Kieran Gillen really is like a big nerd, really likes RPGs, really likes... really, really is interested in the story of why Dungeons and Dragons were made. Dungeons and Dragons and other things. Like, you can see a lot of how, of war and, like, the circumstances of Tolkien's life in Lord of the Rings, even though I hate Lord of the Rings and think it's bad. Like, and you can see a lot of what the Brontes were going through in their work. So I'm really interested in, like, seeing how that carries forward into the story of Di, because we only, like, even though I've read the whole thing before, I only read the first 10 issues so that I could be with you here today. And I would always choose to be with you in any universe.
Oh.
I want you to cry. I'm giving you everything everywhere all at once.
I am excited too. I really appreciate the attention to detail that was put into the crafting of this plot. You can tell there's a lot of love for D&D and for fantasy in general, which I think sometimes you don't often find plots that have this many layers to it and so many Easter eggs and such respect paid to, like, you may not like Lord of the Rings, but it did.
Oh, no, I recognize it's influential.
Yeah,
Lord of the Rings, I hate, and I think it's bad. But, like, this is like Star Wars to me. Star Wars is influential, and it's, you can see so much, like, love and, like, craft for, like, cinema in Star Wars, but, like, I think Star Wars is bad. I just love it.
Yeah, that's how I feel about Lord of the Rings. I recognize that it is very dry to read, And there are some problematic themes. However, it gave birth to the fantasy genre in a lot of ways.
It did not.
It didn't?
I would not say that. I would not say that fantasy is born from any Western concept.
Well, no, I'm not saying that. I mean, like, D&D and...
Oh, no, yeah, that's true.
Because that was my first taste of seeing, like, high fantasy in cinema. And, yeah, I just appreciated all the attention to detail and, like, the origin as well, beyond just like the simple like orcs and elves, and there was a more interesting take. There was more
and
depth
the
to it.
racism.
Yeah.
No, I don't care about that. I feel like if people are racist, that's really their problem. Oh, maybe that sounds like a controversial opinion to have, but to say like I don't care about
racism. We're
gonna
racism, have to cut this out.
No, I don't mind not cutting that part. It's not that I don't care about racism. It's just that I don't feel like I should let other people's prejudices impact the way that I live my life. Like, I'm not gonna sit and cry because you're racist. What does that have to do with me? It like, if you're racist, that's a problem that you have.
Yeah.
Has nothing to do with me.
It's a shitty, not your perspective, but a racist perspective is a shitty perspective to have.
Yeah. I don't know. I think Lord of the Rings is kind of entertaining, but I don't understand it. And not in like, I don't get it, because I understand it quite well. I've read all the books. I've watched the movies. I watched the little cartoon. That's bad too. I don't understand why other people like it. I
I
don't
loved
get
that
it.
little cartoon as a kid.
It's very ugly.
You're talking about the Hobbit cartoon, right?
Yeah, I think I watched it with you.
Probably, yeah, because I had it from Blockbuster as a kid.
Yeah, and I was like, and we used to be Blockbuster fiends, bro. I
Oh,
watched it
yeah.
and I was like, why would anybody like this? You know who I found out is a really big Lord of the Rings fan? Like the
Who?
movies? My mom. She
Is
was going to
she?
go see those long, horrible movies at the midnight premiere.
I love her so much.
She watched the first one on a whim and then was like, the second one, I must go. She was mad that I didn't like it. And I was like, it's a 4 hour, 4 billion hour movie with no black people. Like, even, you know what my introduction to fantasy in film was, actually?
What?
It was Dungeons and Dragons. I
I
believe
never
the
saw
movie.
it.
Oh, those movies are god awful. The reason why I'm so passionate and so determined to go see Honor Among Thieves at the end of this month, and why I devoted like this the lead up to it, is because, and I'm not sure which one Marlon Wayans is in, but it's like, this is my background in fantasy. There's a show called Crod Mandoon and the Flaming Sword of Fire. It was on Comedy Central. And then there's this movie by Vin Diesel, my favorite actor, The Chronicles of Riddick.
Yeah, I know the Chronicles of Riddick.
I made you watch the Chronicles of Riddick Inside and Out, but not
Oh,
Smallville, because Smallville occupied so much more of my time than the Chronicles of Riddick.
Yeah, but there's like a million episodes of Smallville, and the Chronicles of Riddick is one movie.
Yeah, you know what? I haven't ever even, listeners, I haven't even made Alana watch Deep Space Nine successfully.
Yeah.
Once she figured out that first episode was a two-parter, I lost her. She was like, Star Trek, that's for another day.
Listen, that is quite an undertaking, okay?
Listen, all you had to do
That's
was
a
watch...
lot of content.
All you had to do was watch 1 hour and fall in love. I've never even finished Deep Space Nine. You know, I have that thing where if I really like something, it never has to end.
I was like 10 years late to the Game of Thrones party. I didn't watch Star Wars until, yeah, it was like 2020 for me. See, the thing is with me is when things are super, super hyped, then I feel like
oh, I
it's
forget
a
that you're not like other girls.
I don't know if it's that. I think it's more so when there's too much pressure on
not
me
you
to do
being
something. I'm
terminally
like,
unique.
There's too much pressure!
Who
And then
is
I don't want to
pressuring
do it.
You? Who is pressuring you?
Society! Everybody that's constantly
be
talking
a
about
leader. Stop being a follower.
That's why I didn't watch it until I fucking wanted to. And then I liked it on my terms.
Well, you know, actually, I think most of the movies, like, they're very unserious. I think only one Star Wars movie was ever meant to be an actual good movie, and that's Rogue One.
I never saw that. I have still not seen any of the new ones. I tried and I just couldn't get into it. Probably because I guess I'm not like they're going meh, meh, meh.
Yeah, because
whatever.
You're terminally unique. Yeah. I only watched Star Wars in the first place because I really like John Boyega, and I was like, oh, he's gonna be in Star Wars, so I need to watch Star Wars now so I can know. And my mom got all the DVDs from a coworker of hers, shout out to I think Mr. Martinez. Yeah. But those nerds pitched those movies to me so badly because I was so uninterested. I was like, oh, I don't care about anything happening there. Hayden Christensen is in those movies and I love him, so I was like, He was in these movies the whole time. They were like, Ewan McGregor is Obi-Wan, and I barely know who Ewan McGregor is. Like, I've seen a lot of his movies, but he makes movies I don't care about. I don't mean that in a rude way at all. He's in a movie that I actually like called The Island. The movie actually kind of freaked me out, but I really like The Island. And it's like whenever people would pitch Star Wars to me, they'd be like, Ewan McGregor, Ewan McGregor, Ewan McGregor. And then they'd be like, Sam Jackson, Sam Jackson, Sam Jackson. Sam Jackson's in a lot of movies, okay? It was so unserious. They only had plans to make one movie. That one movie ended. It was a big hit. They were like, well, let's make a two. Two was a big hit. So they were like, well, now we have to connect it to three. And it was all very unserious. I see how they ended up with the Muppets.
Come again.
Yeah, you never seen that Star Wars special with the puppets? Oh, even though, you guys also don't know this, but even though I notoriously hate puppets, I'm obsessed with the Muppets. In particular, Frank Oz. Yeah, how are you surprised at this? Frank Oz is Yoda.
I did not know that. My favorite Muppets movie is Muppets Treasure Island, though. I love that one.
Mine is Muppets Take Manhattan.
I've never seen that one.
It would be crazy if that wasn't a real movie and that was just like an elaborate dream that I had. I don't know. What's your favorite Sesame Street movie?
I don't remember.
Wow, because I have an answer. Mine is Elmo in Garage Land or whatever it's called. I love that.
The fact that you still remember that is impressive.
Girl, I watched it like 2 years ago.
Of course you did.
Yeah, I don't believe in putting things away just because they're childish. So I still, anytime Spy Kids is on, I'm watching it. But that's just because I love Danny Trejo. Uncle
But
Machete, that's
Spy
my
Kids
man.
is cinema masterpiece, so
It's iconic. It's legendary. It's cinema. It's true love. It's good versus evil. It's everything.
there is a shitpost page that I follow on Facebook that is Juni Cortez, our Lord and Savior, and it's just absolute deep fried memes with Juni. I
Wait,
love it.
do you remember when Daryl Sabara started dating Meghan Trainor and people were taking pictures of him outside that sex shop and they were like, Meghan Trainor's dating Juni from Spy Kids and they have really hot sex.
Jesus Christ, no, I don't
Now,
remember
that's
that.
the worst thing I've ever heard, but I
God.
feel like after that, this is a natural place to wrap up. So that's all for this week's episode of True Believers. I want to thank you all for all of your support. And if everything goes according to plan, Alana and I will be back next week to discuss the last half of Die. True Believers is available on all major streaming platforms. And we are a member of the Hall of Pods Podcasting Alliance that can be found in Linktree below, along with links to our various social media accounts. And as always, if you want to leave a suggestion on what we read or watch, you can find and DM us, email us at number1truebelievers@gmail.com or join our Discord.
Have a question for the audience though, and if there is a comment section, I'm not sure because I don't make this stuff, but if there is, I would like to know what class do you think Christian would be? Which one do you think I would be? Let us know.
Wait, D&D or die?
Both.
All right, yeah. What class do you think we are? Hit those comments.
Is there even a comment section?
Hell no. I'm actually gonna start reading the comments. As long as I don't have to delete anymore, because if you leave any more furry propaganda in my comments, I will continue to block you.
Excuse me.
Yeah, naming
You
that.
brought this on us.
You brought this on us by being a furry.
I'm not. You know what? The harder that I resist this, the harder you hit me with it. And we are already at like 2 hours. However, one day I'm gonna lean into it just to spite you.
You already
And
have.
oh, baby, not hard enough
Oh,
yet. I'm gonna get an
yeah.
entire
It gets
fur
hard.
suit.
Yep.
Yeah. You're
Furry
gonna get
confirmed.
hard.
You're the one getting
You're
hard in
gonna get
furries.
hard. I think you're projecting on me because you want me to assume a furry persona to satisfy your inner needs, your deep, deep taboo shame. No shade to you, furries. That's your business, but that's not my prerogative.
First of all, I hope you choked on those lies. Second of all, the fact that you invented a whole scenario in which
Why do you want me to be a
maybe
furry so bad?
it's not that I want you to be a furry, maybe that's I'm trying to accept you for who you really are. And your entire scenario in which I want you to be a furry really just proves what I've been saying for years. You are deeply and irrevocably in love with me, and you want me to accept you for who you really are. Yeah.
Well, the game is mine because you know what? You do love me.
I guess you can't unring that bell.
Ha That's all.
The die's cast. See you next week. I would love to say a really great sign off right now, but I don't have one. So
hit that like and subscribe, guys.
Okay, that's perfect.